Now, the Victorian government is launching what it calls a solar revolution. Victorians are now able to apply for the Solar Homes Program, which will help over 700,000 homes in the state invest in solar panels or solar batteries. And while South Australia is building the largest virtual power plant in the world with the help of generous rebates and battery experts Tesla. But what about us Sydneysiders and our relation to solar? Well, to answer, Stephanie Gray joins me on the line, a campaigner at Solar Citizens, an independent community-based organisation working to protect and grow solar in Australia. Stephanie, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. So what rooftop solar programs exist currently in New South Wales, and how do they stack up against Victorian and South Australian programs?
So before the state election, both major parties made commitments to increase solar uptake. So for the government, that was in the form of solar loans for not only solar PV, but also for batteries as well. So those haven't come out yet, but we're looking that they'll come out in the end of the year, and they should help over 300,000 people get solar.
Wow, okay. And an issue for some rooftop owners in New South Wales, solar rooftop owners, is the feed-in tariff. Can you explain what it is for those who don't know, and what your Fair Price for Solar campaign offers?
So the feed-in tariff is the amount that solar households get for exporting their clean energy back into the grid. It's how much the retailer pays them for that energy, because that energy is then sold to their neighbours for the same cost as you would pay for electricity. So in New South Wales, we see that households actually often don't get a fair price. They get a really small amount that's less than the retailers would pay on the spot market. So the retailers are making money from New South Wales solar homes. And the difference in Victoria is when the feed-in tariff is determined by the government, there's a minimum set so that retailers can't just rip off solar households. And that minimum also takes into account the network benefits of solar, but also the environmental benefits of solar. But in New South Wales, there's no minimum, so households could effectively be paid nothing for the energy they export to the grid.
Right, so the Fair Price for Solar campaign would offer like a minimum price then?
Yeah. And also that minimum price should take into account the other benefits of solar, not just be representative of a wholesale price of power as well.
Righto. Okay, and last year New South Wales had the highest number of rooftop solar installations. So why are we so behind in terms of solar policy?
I think in New South Wales a big problem is that there's so many renters and there's also so many people living in apartments. So that's a huge barrier for people. And currently there's no policy from the government that substantially at any scale addresses those issues. Where in Victoria, like you've already mentioned, the solar homes package is really big, but it also is going to provide solar for 50,000 renters by providing a split incentive scheme, which is something that we don't have in New South Wales. And there's also a lot of things that the New South Wales government could do to help people living in apartments, like community solar gardens and things like that. So there's still a long way to go to address those barriers here. But you are seeing solar absolutely booming in regional New South Wales.
That is good news, and plenty to look forward to and work towards for sure. Stephanie, thank you so much for your time on the show.
No worries. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
That was Stephanie Gray from Solar Citizens, an independent community-based organisation working to grow solar in Australia.